And so today is Commitment Sunday, and we have the opportunity to dedicate ourselves afresh to God and to the life and work of St. James as we seek to live God's love in our community and our worship and in our prayer. So some of the things I'm going to say today will overlap or reiterate what Heather said last Sunday. I promise you, you're not getting the same sermon twice. It's more like two perspectives on the same subject matter, or two photos of the same thing, which I'm afraid I've indulged myself. They look a bit like this. So this is a photo of the lawn garden at Clifton last spring, planted with white narcissi. Photo number two is the same garden later in the year. I'm not quite sure what the plant is this time. There might be somebody who knows. I can't remember. And I've taken a slightly different angle with the photo to just try and capture the sea of colour, but differently. And in the same way, I chose readings for today, which, like last week's, are about what we do with our resources, but different ones, so we can try and build a bigger picture of what the Bible says to us on this topic. So let's start with our gospel reading. Jesus' story of the rich fool, or less judgmentally, the rich farmer. So this is one of the parables we didn't cover when we were going through them last autumn. I discovered actually you'd need a whole year if you were going to get through all of the parables. But it's one of my favourites, and it's mostly because of the way it's told in the children's version by Nick Butterworth and Mick Inkpen. The bit I always remember is this bit. It isn't strictly biblical, but it makes me laugh. It's the cabbages. Again, the farmer has planted too much corn, too many carrots, and a few cabbages as well. Perhaps that says something about how I feel about cabbages, but what we have here is a picture, it seems, of a shrewd businessman. In answer to the questions, well, why doesn't the farmer just sell the crops immediately? Or why doesn't he just build a second barn rather than ripping down that first one and building a bigger one? The scholar and LLM, Paula Gooder, writes, well, perhaps the farmer didn't want to waste that fertile ground by building lots of barns on it. Perhaps he wanted to sell his crops when there was less competition and the prices were higher. Either way, he is a perfect example of the greed Jesus warns about in this parable. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. Carrying on from this parable, Luke records Jesus' teaching on worry. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Jesus asks his hearers to consider the wildflowers. The main point Jesus makes in this parable, and he's going on to say in his teaching on worry, is that life is more than about these things. It's about being wealthy towards God. The things that we have, whether that's money or material goods or our skills and gifts, our lives themselves are for God's service and God's kingdom. We're to be rich towards God, or in God's sight, as the Good News Translation puts it. Why are we to be like this? Well, quite simply because in doing so, we're imitating what God has done and continues to do for us. So the Bible is the story of God's unfailing love and commitment to his people. The covenants God made with Abraham, the deliverance of his people from Egypt, his provision of the judges and then the kings, his restoration of the people following the exile. All these are testimony to a God whose nature is mercy and faithfulness, deliverance and love. And then finally, God sends his son, the ultimate gift, the ultimate rescue package, who loves and teaches and heals and serves and dies. So we're asked to love because God loved us first. We give because Jesus gave. We serve because Jesus served. So the commitments we make are a response to the blessings we've been given, the gifts we've been given. And we heard about an example of this in our first reading, that bit of Exodus, all those bits of Exodus. Well, at this point in the Exodus story, the Israelites are still in the wilderness and Moses has just come down from the mountain. He's received the law from God. And contained within that law are all those instructions for building the tabernacle. And so Moses asks the people to bring offerings so that they can construct this place of worship for God. The expensive materials, the gold, the silver, the bronze, the fine linens, the different coloured yarns, well, they probably came from the plunder the Israelites took from the Egyptians when they left. The thought that went in my head was, how did they carry all this stuff through the desert all the time? But the thing to note is how Moses asks for the offerings and how the people respond. So Moses asks with the words, everyone who is willing. And those who respond are described as those who were willing and whose hearts moved them. Other translations say, all those whose hearts were stirred and whose spirits were moved or prompted. So those who give aren't giving grudgingly. They're not contributing as little as possible. They're not giving because, oh, it's the done thing and they think they should. Don't hear of any pettiness or meanness or moaning. Just this heartfelt response to God. They continue to bring their free will offerings day after day. And notice too that as well as asking for those material goods, Moses asked for those who were skilled to come and help make the things that were needed for worship, Bezalel and Oholiab, or however you pronounce them, and for others. So Moses was requesting offerings of time and talent as well as things, recognizing that different people have different gifts, special and unique ways of serving, and all of those are different. And here at St. James, we know all about that. We're very blessed to have so many who give in so many ways through the year. We have a great tech team, for example. I noticed, I did promise I didn't time this, but that's a group of people we're praying for on the WhatsApp today. They man the computer. They give us all our words and pictures. We are connected to Zoom via what they do, and they sit there with a sound desk and make sure we can be heard. And honestly, that's a job in itself. But when we have a band, that becomes really, really difficult, okay? So if you're a techie person, you're somebody who knows that this needs to plug into that, okay? And that this cable will work and this cable won't. And so that we can all hear, so that the people in the band can hear, and they need to hear something different from what you lot out there are hearing. Now, honestly, if you asked me to do that, I wouldn't have a clue. So, a big thank you to Phil and to John and to Matt, who understand these complicated things that I don't know. But we also have beautiful flower arrangements every week from Helen and from Janet. We have welcomers and coffee people on Sundays and Thursdays. We have readers, those who lead prayers. We have people who organise all these other people. In the past year, we've had also some great DIY and working party days. And we have people like Mike who use their skills to transform the building. We're currently at work on the toilets, but there's been work on the kitchen and the ramp up to the front door and outside maintenance like cutting the grass. So a thank you to Bruce in his absence. And so on. If I haven't mentioned you by name, if I haven't even mentioned the role that you play, please forgive me. I think, if I tried to list everyone and everything, I'd still miss something. So please know that whatever you do, and especially if that's a background role, you're hugely, hugely appreciated. Paul, in his first letter to the Corinthians, uses the analogy of the body, one working whole comprising many parts, all of which are necessary for the body to function properly. And this is us. This is the people who make up St. James's Church. Thank you for everything that you do, everything that you've done and given, especially in this past year. So during this last week, Heather invited us to take stock of our giving, to reflect and to review. We're moving into a new season in our country with the removal of legal restrictions around COVID. And we're moving into a new season here as Growing Hope High Wycombe gets off the ground. So today we're to come before God, to offer ourselves and our gifts to him again, and to ask that he would use us to serve each other and the community around us. And we're going to use a prayer of commitment to do this. And so I wonder, if you're able to, can I invite you to stand as we say this together? Dear Lord, I commit myself again today to your service. I give you my hands to do your work. I give you my feet to go your way. I give you my tongue to speak your words. I give you my mind that you may think in me. I give you my spirit that you may pray in me. I give you my heart that I may love others as you do. Please use my gifts, my time, my finances, as I work with the other members of St. James towards fulfilling your purposes for us here, to live God's love in our community, in our worship, and in our prayer. Amen.
Well, thank you so much, Rowena. It's really, really lovely to just think about what we're doing and have a chance to pray and commit ourselves together. So while you're standing, we're going to continue in our next hymn, which is Meekness and Majesty. And I think that's just a reminder to us, as Rowena said, of the ultimate gift that God gave to us of his Son.